Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Back in time for a Not a Thing podcast. Hooray!
We did it.
Yes, we're continuing to do it. We're gonna make it all the way to a year. I swear it.
Coming up soon. Odin's beard, I swear it. We will complete a year of podcasts.
By Grabthar's hammer, this podcast will complete. Well, no, I guess it won't complete. We don't want to complete it after a year.
No, we want to continue.
Yeah. We'd like to thank everyone who's been helping it continue. Thank you.
Well, I mean, really, who helps it continue? You and I do. We're the ones that make it.
Yeah, screw
those guys.
I
appreciate everyone who listens to it, obviously. But, I mean, we're doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
I can put any person can put earbuds in. I mean, come on. It's not rocket science. It's much different than pressing record and post.
There is a lot behind the scenes that the listeners don't have to see or hear. The sausage making will be hid from you for as long as possible.
Phrasing.
Trust us, we're doing something good for you, kind of like you know, the NSA.
Yeah. No.
Another group that can't tell you what they're doing, but they are doing something, right?
That is some serious sausage making over at the NSA.
Anyway, good stuff.
Speaking of government agencies that aren't evil.
Yes, so the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, which handles all the TV in England, because they're crazy like that. You have to pay a fee to have a TV, and that fee goes towards generating programming and all that kind of stuff. Very interesting. But one of the things they've decided to do is not have 3D broadcasts at all. So their rationale is that, you know, there's just not enough people that want to watch 3D TV. And long-time listeners of the podcast would probably agree with that. Or you'd know at least that Brendan and I do.
Right.
Yeah. 3D is not a thing. I mean, sadly, even when the 3D is like native, which I think of for a 3D made, like rendered movie, like, you know, a Pixar Toy Story kind of movie or something that... that, you know, that there were actually two cameras that were involved. It's not a conversion. Even in those cases, I still am not a fan of it, only because I've gone this long without having to wear glasses.
Right. I'm supposed to wear glasses. I don't. That's how much I don't want to wear glasses.
So I really do believe that for wearing glasses in theater does make it significantly darker, and a lot of movies are just not calibrated for that. I think the one notable exception was The Hobbit in 3D, and I think the high frame rate stuff helped with that, but even in that case, it was not a requirement for sure.
But that's a whole nother podcast.
Yes, indeed.
Which you can find with special guest Tom Watson.
At least one, in fact. I feel like we talked about it a couple times.
More frame rate, more to say. That's, yeah, you know, yeah. It makes sense.
We have to have Tom on so he can talk about something other than The Hobbit.
Well, yeah, when the Desolation of Smog comes out, we'll have to have him back on.
Excellent. Okay. Tom, if you're listening... your spot is assured.
He's our resident Middle Earth expert. You know, other than us. Or guest Middle Earth expert.
There we go.
Resident experts.
There we go.
as I just reread the Silmarillion for like the fourth time.
Oh, well, interesting that it's the Silmarillion, right? It's so one other bit of news that came out of England, I think, today was that someone is proposing that a symbol be made to stand for the word the. And the reasoning behind this one is that we have a symbol for and, right? The little ampersand curly thing. And it's the weird thing about it is the is a much more common word than and, but we don't have a symbol for the. And so the way that they were writing the symbol is like a T, like an uppercase T that has the lowercase, like part, like the rounded part of a lowercase H coming out of
it. It looks like the least comfortable chair in the world.
Right, it's like a chair with a hat.
Actually, I guess it looks kind of like a stool.
Yeah.
But like I said, the least comfortable chair in the world.
Right. Right, right. I don't know what I think about this, but I probably disagree with it. I don't need another symbol that I can't fit my fingers to type on my little Apple keyboard.
Well, his main argument was it would be good for texting, but I found that if people are going to text, they're just going to leave the out. You just omit it entirely, and your point is still getting across.
Yeah, yeah. Or they just put the letter T there in, you know, like WTF, which I think is funny because it spelling out WTF takes longer than it does to say what the fuck. Which is probably, you know, another reason that people don't say letters, right?
Don't tell that to Mark Maron. He would not agree with you.
Well, he just wants the time count to be longer, right? The word count is the syllable count really doesn't matter to him.
That's true. he needs to be able to waste the first like 20 minutes of his show.
But yeah, I think while a novel idea, I think it would just generate more pain than I really need. And I think the having texting become easier is not something I want. I actually like conversation, kind of like the one we're having now, right, Brendan?
Yes.
Well done. Well done.
That was an intentional pause. That was not the podcast breaking. Just to be clear.
Although, you know, for a podcast that has been remote for about 2/3 of its existence, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of good, success. Not a lot of technical problems, thankfully.
Yeah, we had more technical problems when we recorded live. We haven't had a single cat incident, not a single cat vomit incident, and since we have gone remote. I hope that's not because I'm not there, and when I was there, I was making the cat nauseous. But
no, I don't think it's a commentary on you. It's probably a commentary more on my our food choice for the cat. I just realized that they have gluten-free cat food now. I didn't know.
For neurotic people.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know that cats could get celiac disease, but I guess.
Well, I was at a pet store yesterday and I saw holistic cat food.
Oh.
Whatever the hell that means.
So I don't understand. Was it like
I don't know. That's all it was. It was labeled as holistic cat food. I did not investigate further. I quickly left the store.
Was it dry food?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I know that there's wet food, or it's even in the frozen kind of section, because you're supposed to like thaw it, and it's essentially raw food. It's raw like meat that you're supposed to give for, I guess it's whatever small pet you have. It looks like it works for dogs or cats, but
I'm pretty sure cats lick their butts, so who cares what you feed your cat?
They do lick pretty much everything except the very tops of their heads, which I think if they knew how to lick, they probably would. Cats are extremely methodical in that way. but yeah, they're not picky. They're not picky, no. Let me tell you. One of my cats, apparently, my wife was telling me that she was painting and the cat jumped up onto the table where the paint can was and started drinking out of it. It's like, not, and it wasn't like she licked, she had one like lick and was like, oh, this is awful. It's like, no, she went a lot. I mean, it was to the point where it was, you know, got to pick the cat up and wash her mouth out and everything. Yeah. It's amazing the natural selection process works at all.
Yeah, people used to worship those things. What the hell? Crazy Egyptians.
Yeah. And how are they doing now?
Crazy Egyptians.
Oh, they'll get that government right eventually. Eventually. I think I still have faith for Egypt. But yeah, it's gonna be that's a long road that they're marching. In a completely different direction.
In what we've now perfected as the untransition.
Yes, the TSA apparently today unveiled that they have an Instagram account. And I was concerned that the Instagram account would only be full of the nude pictures of people by the scanning equipment, when in fact it's actually kind of interesting. They're showing, I mean, not that that wouldn't be interesting, I guess.
Yeah, that's called the internet, Alan.
Yeah, right.
But they've released this new thing with nude people on the internet? What?
It'll never work. It'll never gain any traction at all. The Instagram account is supposedly all stuff that they've confiscated from people in line, you know, for the metal detector or pat downs or whatever. And it's really surprising what people bring through the metal detectors or try. Notably, a fair amount of firearms. I think a good.
It's like a Pinterest for all the things I want. Sweet knives and snub-nosed handguns. Yeah. And there's one gun that is actually a knife. I don't understand the purpose of that, but it's like a switchblade. But I want it.
Oh, is it like a bayonet on a gun? On a handgun?
The trigger releases the blade out. So it's a pistol grip with a knife on the end.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, and there's a hand grenade in there, too. I don't mind a hand grenade.
So, my question is, because I've still not heard anything about people being prosecuted for acts of terrorism or conspiracy to commit terrorism, you know, in relation to any of this stuff. So is this just stuff that people are forgetting is in their pants on the way out the door?
The country is a very big place. I'd like to see a map with where all these things were found.
They don't geotag them? Oh,
geotag
come on.
Which airport?
Come on, Instagram, or come on, TSA. We gotta work this out. Use the tools.
I also want them, if they're gonna do this whole Instagram thing, they should do the new Instagram video, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
And so they keep the recording of the person when the item is discovered.
Right.
Because that expression would be priceless.
Oh, that would be great. They were TSA. We're helping you help your image right here. It could work. I think The TSA has a long way to go. Speaking of those kinds of things. So if Egypt has a long way to go to get that government thing right, the TSA has a long way to go to get the public on their side again. Although this helps a little bit, I think. It's fun to look at anyway, which is really all you can ask for when you have the internet.
Cool stuff to look at? Wow.
Although apparently not absolutely everything is visual in nature on the internet. Because there's a service that Amazon runs called Mechanical Turk, which is people can post... what does it stand for exactly? It's HIT, which is like High Intelligence Task or something like that.
I don't know how high intelligence they are. Basic tasks that a computer can't perform.
Right. It's things like sorting a... actually, a computer can do that, I guess. Sorting an Excel file. But it's like transcribing a...
Audio.
Phone, yeah, transcribing a phone conversation or... a bunch of other things, which I guess a computer can do, but the person that has posted this task doesn't know how to do it. So rather than figure that out, they're just essentially outsourcing it to the internet.
It's crowdsourcing.
Yes. And Amazon has done this for a little while. And I feel like the novel thing about it is that you don't... you don't have to pay the person unless you're satisfied with how it turns out, which I would hope you wouldn't just, you know, say you're dissatisfied and then take the work. But the other interesting thing is that the prices are, they seem really, really flexible. Like, I don't think there's a bidding process, but it looks like the work is done for, you know, very, very, very cheap. I mean, these are meant to be tasks that would be automated if they could be, but because they're not, it's, because there's a gap in computer artificial intelligence so far, you have to do it this way.
I did participate in Mechanical Turk for a while when I was between jobs. So I would spend my days looking for jobs, and then in the time when I wasn't looking for a job, I was on Mechanical Turk, earning a little bit of money. You do tasks that you'd make 10 cents, or you make 25 cents, or $1, or $5. So you can there's different university studies that you can be a part of.
Oh, okay.
Or I'm trying to think what else. What else did I do? Oh, the best one was you would just go. It was improving people's SEO, so you would go and click on people's web. They pay you to click on their websites.
Oh, geez.
Or just to Google search for their website.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd make like a quarter, and I figured out it was like I'd be able to complete the task in 3 minutes, and I'd make a quarter every 3 minutes.
Hmm. And does the math bear out? Is it? I mean, it's obviously not sustainable.
It's totally not worth it. But when you're making zero money to make, you know, 10 or 20 bucks extra a week when you're making $0 is pretty nice.
Yeah. And that was an interesting thing in the article that we'll link, which was that there's the thought that it generates kind of a sweatshop mentality for the people that are creating the tasks. But it turns out that the people that are doing the tasks are not people from poorer countries necessarily. It's people from the U.S. And the article was like a lot of the people, and I didn't catch the stat for what the percentage was, but it was a double-digit number of people, you know, have an income up to $50,000, and they're like, sure, I'll help someone, you know, crank out their access database or whatever for a few bucks. And I can see how people would do that. While I haven't done it myself, I will look into it. But what I'm noticing is that it sounds like a good idea. Like, hey, I have a free, like, few minutes on my lunch break. Why don't I do a little bit of work to essentially get this money? But is it tax-free? I don't understand how that transaction kind of works. I mean, you're not going to get a W-2 for $4, are you?
No. Well, I mean, you don't have to file unless it's over, however, it was like $400 or something.
Oh,
like
okay.
That.
Good point. Good point.
So I didn't make that much. But, yeah. You know, for an hour or two a day, it's what in the time that you would spend watching TV or playing video games, it's a way to make a little bit of change.
Sure.
Literally change.
Yeah. Well, and I think
it's not a full. There's no way you could do it as a full time job.
No.
But it's, you know, just a little extra.
Yeah, and it keeps your mind working and all that kind of stuff. So it sounds interesting. It sounds like something that that I can see people doing just as a, like, I don't have anything to do right now. I might as well do something that feels somewhat useful and gives a little bit of money to me. So, yeah, I mean it's an interesting concept, and I know it's been around for a little while, this was the first article I'd read about, like trying to map the demographics of people that use it, and so that was an interesting bit. Cool. Well, again, in that tradition of no segues, we are moving towards spoiler territory, but aren't quite there yet. The thing that I found out about yesterday was that a game that we both really like, the Walking Dead game from Telltale Games, has some DLC. The Walking Dead 400 Days is the name of the DLC, and it's supposed to be, you know, the first 400 days of the zombie apocalypse, if, you know, for lack of a better term, I guess. And it's told from the point of view of five different stories. And for those of you that played the first game, and I highly recommend that you do because it is excellent. But for those that played the first game, it sounds like it does not directly relate to any of the characters from that game, but it does, it will affect them when the second episode of that game comes out. So it's just a, you know, transition teaser for getting people, you know, to remember that game's still around, essentially, which I think is also interestingly timed, because I want to say that on the July 4th weekend, they were doing a, AMC was doing a Walking Dead kind of preview thing. I caught a few minutes of one, and when it was just showing episodes, and when they tossed a commercial, Kevin Smith, of all people, was would say like a fact about the show, or was interviewing one of the cast members for a quick thing just before the commercial break. So yeah, Walking Dead, still around, still a thing. I am still very happy, very pleased with how that game went. Even the ending of it, which was a little rough.
A bit on the heart-wrenching side.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good game. And I think if there's anything that that I took away from it, it was that you like it would make you feel like every decision mattered, whether it did or not.
Yeah,
because it would pop up little things like like if you have four options of things to say to a person, whichever option you picked, the person would pop up a message saying, you know, oh, Brendan will remember that.
Yeah. Oh no.
And you're like, oh, did I pick the right thing? Oh, I don't know what to do. And then what would be funny would be 5 minutes later, that guy dies. And it's like, oh, I guess it didn't matter what I told him. But did it? I don't know. So, it's I wanted to play through it again, actually, and just pick the essentially the absolute opposite of what I picked on the first way through. And that would be interesting. I mean, it has a lot of replay value. It's a really good game. We've talked about it
Indeed.
before. I'm sure the
I
this
think a
new
couple times.
yeah, I'm sure this new set will be great too. As far as I know, it's still all the same people, and Telltale Games does a really good job of creating the look of the comic without it being stilted or otherwise just kind of weird. They have the moodiness right and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to playing it. I also have, I think, the Last of Us queued up somewhere in this list. Oh, it's gonna be a busy summer.
Nerd. Yeah, I just started replay or got back into playing Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh,
I'm gonna
really? Okay.
finish it.
Okay. You are a stronger man than I.
I've actually started to enjoy the seagoing missions, which is good
Okay.
because the next game is supposed to be about 60% ocean-based.
Interesting.
So
Yeah, I guess I haven't gotten to the point where I'm like doing where I'm doing missions on the oceans yet. I did like a few of the, if I'm remembering right, I did a few of the tutorial like combat mission ones, but that was it. I think I did the tutorial ones, and then there was like one more after that that involved, pummeling a ship until it sank, and that was kind of interesting, but I really just wanted to start or get back to, was it
Slicing and dicing.
rope dart? Was it rope dart,
Rope
Hank?
darts,
Yes.
yes. The game became a lot more enjoyable once I figured out how to fix the glitch where I could actually get my assassin tomahawk back so I could use the weapons I wanted. It's a pretty glitchy game.
Okay. Yeah, did you get the DLC for that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't, well, I mean, at this rate, I'm not going to. So we'll just keep going. We'll just keep rolling with that. Kind of coming back to the zombie kind of stuff. It sounded like you saw a movie this weekend.
I did. I saw World War Z, or as it probably should be called, Brad Pitt's World War Z. No affiliation with Max Brooks's World War Z.
Yeah. I think I saw I think the oatmeal had a thing that was the only thing that is common between the World War Z book and the World War Z movie is that the words World War Z are involved.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I had heard actually a good review of the movie that it was, I mean, I forget exactly what the person said. She said it was a smart zombie movie, and I don't know
What
exactly
does
what that
that
meant.
mean?
No, I don't know.
What
So
does that mean?
that's why I'm looking forward to your review, because I don't know what that meant, and I was wondering if you came away with the same like feelings.
Well, I didn't really feel like it was much of a zombie movie.
Oh.
Because I don't consider fast-moving zombies to be zombies.
Hear,
And they were not just fast-moving, but super fast-moving.
okay.
They didn't even stop. They behave like a virus, so their whole point was to spread the infection, but they
Okay.
never stopped and ate anybody.
So it was just like hit and run kind of
Yeah, they
thing?
would bite and move on. And the people turn in like 10 sec or 12 seconds or something like that. And the only character that's throughout the whole movie is Brad Pitt. It's really the Brad Pitt show. It's like you meet all these secondary characters that there's only one that you kind of get invested in towards but they're only in like the last third of the movie. So it's I don't know. It was well cast. It had good pacing. As long as I didn't think about the book at all and just thought of it as a completely separate entity, it was okay. It didn't blow me away. It was, I don't know. I could tell where they started the rewrites, though.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a bad choice. I mean, it was interesting. It was like a happy ending, but not really a happy ending. Well, I mean, we're in spoiler territory, so I don't mind spoiling it because I don't think you're going to be too busted up about it.
Yeah, I'm likely going
to. You're probably going to miss it. Yeah. Yeah. So the ending of the movie, spoiler alert, we haven't already gotten onto that, is they realize that they can't, like, the whole movie is Brad Pitt trying to go, he's flying around the world trying to figure out who Patient Zero was. Right. And eventually they reach a point where they realize they can't figure out who that is.
Aww.
It's impossible.
Okay.
But in his travels, he notices that certain people are left alone. The zombies run right by them.
Sure.
And it's people who are sickly and old. So they're only looking for healthy hosts.
Sure.
So the idea he comes up with is, I'm going to, you know, make people sick with a deadly virus so the other virus leaves them less like camouflage.
Okay.
So they don't find a way to stop all the zombies, but they find a way to camouflage all the people who are still alive.
Okay.
Which was kind of interesting, but also anticlimactic.
Yeah.
It didn't have, you know, the hallmarks of a zombie movie. It didn't have the gore. It didn't have, you know, any of the hacking, slashing. It was very PG-13.
Right. It was going to be PG-13. I do remember that as a,
I can't think of a PG-13 zombie movie.
Was Zombieland PG-13?
No, that's rated R.
That was R, yeah.
Shaun of the Dead's rated R.
Yeah. Was that that one that
Warm Bodies. Warm yes. Bodies was PG-13.
Yeah.
I actually think I liked Warm Bodies more than World War Z.
Okay.
Mostly because it was had some comedic stuff in it. But this was, I don't know. It was a lot of Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And long haired Brad Pitt. A lot of long hair Brad Pitt.
Oh, so the Legends of the Fall, like, fans will enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe not the Fight Club fans.
No.
Okay. All right.
No. Watch this one, not that, like Doug Benson style. Watch Fight Club. Don't watch World War Z.
Fight Club's a good movie. I was just talking about that with someone a couple days ago. That might have to be a rewatch pretty soon.
Oh, that's actually on the new Doug Benson comedy album that just came out, which was recorded the weekend we saw him.
Oh, interesting.
The podcast team went to see him.
Yeah.
It's called Gateway Doug.
Excellent.
Yes. And in the album, he does Watch This, Not That. And it was Fight Club and Pulp Fiction.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a tough choice.
I say Pulp Fiction, but that's just me.
It depends on, I think it depends on how far gone you think Quentin Tarantino was for Pulp Fiction at that point. Because I think it's pretty, I think you can say that Reservoir Dogs was a great movie. I think they're, like, with each successive movie, he became kind of more self-indulgent about what he would want in the movie and less about, you know, how the movie would actually go, unfortunately. So I find that his later movies are very, or can feel very scattered and less coherent. I mean, there's lots of the movie that look great, but I think Pulp Fiction was still, he was still, like, figuring out how to build the movie kind of well. And I liked it. Do I like it more than Fight Club? This is a discussion for another show.
Yeah, this will be another podcast.
It's a whole other podcast.
We'll table that one. we like should to... do that. We should just do a Watch This, Not That podcast. And just do a whole episode of different movies.
Interesting. This could be a good long show.
we'll have to get David from the Nerds on Film podcast back on for that one.
Cool. Yeah, if you would like to be a guest on the Not a Thing podcast, we're always taking applications. You don't have to be married to a prior guest to apply.
Or married to a host. Although I am also accepting marriage applications for myself.
With a free podcast experience, or free podcast appearance.
No, it's like the tryout. Right. That's how that works, right? That's how you get married?
Yeah, I think it's going to work. I think it's going to be okay because, you know, she was on the podcast and it went all right. So. Wow, that was the podcast number one. Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
A long time ago.
Good times. Good times. Anyway, I think we'll pull this one together for this week. And yeah, good stuff, Brendan. I'll talk to you next week.
Until next time.